In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for the seventh Sunday after Trinity, the Gospel according to St. Mark, the eighth chapter, beginning at verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, How many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is being followed by a multitude. They have continued with him for 3 days, we read, and they are in need of sustenance. As he looks upon those who are in need, Jesus tells his disciples, I have compassion on the multitude. You are the needy ones. You are the blessed, if hungry, multitude. The Holy Spirit has drawn you to this third day assembly, where we gather to receive that which our Lord Jesus Christ would feed us. Take heart, every one of you, for Jesus sees your need, and he has compassion on you. The law must do its work first. For some, the law has less work to do. Just as your stomach will tell you that you are in need of food, some of you have been so visited by the devastation that sin can cause in a person's life. There's no doubt in your mind that you need help. And thus the Holy Spirit works readily through Jesus' message of compassion and forgiveness to call you to repentance and salvation. For others, it's different. Some people can constantly snipe at their spouse and never even notice that they are endangering their marriage. Good. Some can drive down the road with a dangerously low tire and not realize until someone points it out that they are on the hairy edge of automotive disaster. Many of us have been embarrassed to go through who knows how many hours of a day and then discover that, well, something isn't zipped that should have been or buttoned that really ought to be. But one way or another, we all know what it's like to be completely oblivious to something we should have noticed. I confess before you that I could probably make a side job out of that. Some of us have even mastered it. And the dangerous, ugly spiritual equivalent to that is that sometimes people don't even notice their own sin. They may not even see or particularly take note of its destructive influence in their lives. That this sin that they think of as no big deal has become an idolatry that shoves the Lord off to the side rather than allowing the Lord to be the center of their lives as He should be. They're just spiritually oblivious. They think of themselves as basically good people for all of the reasons that our society gives you permission to think such things. And so they have no recognition of their need for repentance and the forgiveness of sins. They may not even understand their own spiritual condition, but it is this: upon such spiritually insensitive, arrogant, proud, stubborn, whatever it may be, people, how does Jesus feel about people like that? Well, He also has compassion on them. But that compassion requires a more drastic mercy, a harsher proclamation of the law, that being finally crushed by the law, the Holy Spirit can then use the gospel to deliver Jesus' salvation to them also. But the point remains, wherever you are in all of that, Jesus wants to have compassion on you. He wants to feed you with the bread of life. He does not want you fainting as you are on the way. So He sits the multitude down, and then come some words that have an oddly familiar ring to them. It says, He took the loaves, gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to give to the people. And it says, in the same way also He does with a few fish. The Lord provides. Now, I want you to consider how He could have done the miracle. He could have filled their stomachs directly. He could have addressed their need without means. And He really could have done that. But that is not our Lord's MO. He always works through physical means, even when He undertakes to accomplish a spiritual good. our perfect Lord would not have done this, but I think of how many modern false prophets do, particularly those of the extreme American revivalist corruption of the holy faith. He could have declared his intention to work such an immediate, and I use that word in the technical, unmediated, without means sense. He could have declared that he wanted to fill them immediately without the means of partaking of food. And here's the catch. But he could only do it if they would have enough faith. See, that's the manipulative nonsense, particularly of TV preachers. They attach that "if you have enough faith" caveat. That way, you are under tremendous psychological pressure, either A, to convince yourself that you really do feel full now, or B, to at least carry on as though you're not hungry, so people will think you've got strong faith and so that you will be accepted in such circles. Jesus is no such false prophet. And he gives the multitudes none of this malarkey faith-filling. He works through physical means. Dear ones in Christ, get that. Jesus works through physical means. In the Old Testament, God worked through physical means. He used physical dust of the ground to create man in the first place, and a physical rib taken from man to create woman. He used physical circumcision. I will make my mouth work right this morning. He used physical circumcision and the physical body and blood of the Passover lamb to save people. He used a physical icon or forged image of a snake on a pole to deliver his repentant people from a venomous snake bite in the desert. In the New Testament, it's my privilege once in a while to go out and commune our elderly shut-in people who have been faithful to the Lord in coming to church for years and now no longer can, so the church goes to them. Just this last week, I was communing Herman and Mary Eilers, and for our sermon text, I used from the Gospel according to St. John, this man born blind. There he is, blind as can be. And right in front of him, his ears work just fine. The disciples decide to have a little philosophical discussion about him. Did this man sin, or was it his parents that made him be born blind? And Jesus says, basically, none of the above. It's that the power of God may be demonstrated. I love the Gospel according to St. John because in John we get a Jesus who could care less about Victorian propriety. I like that. There's this blind man. The next thing he hears, the next thing he feels is slime on his eyes. He can't see, but he can hear. He knows what's happened. He can feel. Through such earthy, physical means,
through the gift of Jesus' mud spit. He gets his sight back.
In the New Testament, of course, especially, we have the physical water and the physical bread and wine that convey the body and blood of the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, to us personally to save us. That has always been how God works, through physical means. So beware of any who would give you empty symbols, or worse yet, pure, often never land abstractions, and tell you that it's really just up to you to feel the spiritual reality. And by the way, you'd better be claiming to feel that spiritual reality, or you might not even be saved. Turn a deaf ear to such false prophets, and rather go where God is delivering the physical goods. Jesus delivers. Miraculously, to be sure, but he delivers. Those who have been without the physicality that their bodies need have that physicality given to them on the third day. Don't miss that. The physicality of bread and of fish. He distributes that body-saving gift by way of his called ministers. Dear ones in Christ, consider your souls. What do they need? Have you ever known someone who has been sick for so long that they have forgotten, or in some cases maybe never even known, what it feels like to feel good? I have. You almost don't know whether to pity them for being so rough off or to be thankful that at least they don't know what they're missing. Maybe both. In any case, it's like that for all of us when it comes to sin. We are conceived and born sinners. We have never, ever known how it feels to have minds unclouded by sinful thoughts, emotions untainted by impure affections, bodies unsullied by sinful urges. But that's how they should be. As I love you in the Lord, so I command you. Repent of every last scrap of your being that is thus clouded, tainted, sullied, by nature even dead in your trespasses and sins. Consider your sin. Let it sink in that hell is your just reward. Let that terrify you as it should, and repent. Next, hear the good news that Jesus has lived a perfect life for you and offered that life up as an atoning sacrifice for you on the cross. By his suffering and death, he has fully paid the wages of sin. There on the cross, enduring even the very hell that you deserved, and for His sake, you are forgiven and set at peace with God. My favorite professor back in the seminary used to say, "I hear it all the time. I'm only human." That is not your problem. Your problem is that you're less than human. You're fallen, sinful human. Your Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to make human beings out of us again. In our sinfulness, we might hear this proclamation of the gospel and still wonder, is that gruesome death really what I need? Dare I place all of my hope of eternal salvation on this Jesus and His death on the cross? I mean, He no more than dies and they take His body down from the cross and put it in a tomb behind a stone so large that no one man could move it. What does faith have to hold on to? Jesus has compassion on you. Continue with Him 3 days, and your soul receives the physical sustenance that it needs. Jesus rises from the dead on the third day, that the church may not merely cling to an abstract proposition, but rather to the living body of her physically resurrected Lord. Just as Christ had compassion on the multitudes on that third day, so He has compassion on you. He does something physical for your salvation, dying on the cross and physically rising on the third day. But then He places the physicality of salvation into the hands of His called servants, that they may distribute this to you. Saint Augustine, commenting on this text, offers that in the very proclamation of the word, Jesus feeds you with the bread of salvation. Indeed, it is so, and all the more if it is rightly understood, for the words are placed into your physical ears. They are still physically received, that believing in them you may have eternal life. So the Lord appoints His called and ordained servants to distribute Himself to you by way of the faithful proclamation of His saving word, of the person and work of the crucified Son of God. They distribute Him also by way of the water of baptism, for in those waters you are buried with Christ and raised with Christ, clothed with Christ. Indeed, you put on Christ. The Scriptures say all of these things. But there is physicality to it. Finally, our Lord uses His pastors to be His tools, for giving you what He Himself took and gave thanks for and broke and distributed, His own body and blood, given you by way of bread and wine for the forgiveness of your sins. Dear ones in Christ, dear people of the multitude, who as poor, miserable sinners are either hungry for the gospel, or ought to be, hear it. Christ has had compassion on you. He has lived for you, died for you, is risen from the dead for you. And he has entrusted his ministers with distributing himself to you. Your sins are all forgiven you in the words and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.